You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here for the second hour on Friday on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And now let's go to the phone line. I think we have Mr. Sean Mooney of KVOA. Sean, how are you?
Good. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. I haven't actually seen you in a while, but good to talk to you.
Well, don't you watch TV in the morning? Don't you see me every single day,
Mr. Rivera? Some days I wake up that early, some days I don't. Sorry to tell you.
You got to get up early to catch me. 5 to 7.
Five to seven. What time do you get up? 3 o'clock?
No, I'm up at 1:30.
Oh, you're...
I'm at the station by 3, yeah.
Oh, wow. So you know, it ain't easy looking that pretty. At 1 in the morning, 3 in the morning?
No, but it's, you know, it's all that plastic surgery and, you know, makeup. Botox and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, makeup. Oh, God. Plenty of makeup.
Yes, I need that.
I have to go. I get my tools from Home Depot.
I need your makeup guy. So, hey, you got a big event. I didn't realize, is it the 7th year?
Yeah.
Wow.
7th annual Doodads golf tournament.
Right. I remember.
Quarry Pines.
I remember you were talking about it with me when you first started creating. You said, do you want to kind of help me out with this thing for inspiring kids and dads? And I'm thinking, sure, yeah. Bring a jacket, whatever. I can't remember. 7 years later, you're still going.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of my doodads have abandoned me, which is makes total sense because you know how long you can hang out with me. But yeah, we've kept this thing going, and you know, the purpose of it initially was to help out kids who had either, you know, lost their dads or did not have a positive male role model in their lives, and started with a group of guys that I was coaching, you know, the kids with, and of course they've all grown up, but we kept it going, and we actually started a scholarship fund now that we do every year, where we hand out scholarships to help kids that are going to continue their education. And the criteria is it's not necessarily the grades. You don't have to be a 4.0, but it's you know, kids that have come from you know, challenging upbringings where they've, in many cases, they're from single parent homes, and so we're able to give them scholarships and then also just help out single parents who are trying to raise kids and do what you know, they can do to guide these children and make them productive adults, and we do everything we can to help them.
Yes. It's what day is it? Saturday? The 24th?
No, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's an odd day to get people out to play golf, but Quarry Pines has just been so awesome to me and the organization for all these years now. They turn the golf course over to us. They don't charge us a penny. And the way the tournament works, Steve, is that it's a shotgun start, 7 a.m. at Quarry Pines, Wednesday morning, the 21st. And it's basically free golf. All we ask is that you do give a donation to Doodads. That's it. You get the 18 holes of golf, you get a cart, and all you got to do is drop something in the fishbowl. Now, we hope that folks will come out and, you know, give the equivalent of what they think they might pay for 18 holes of golf. But, and some people are incredibly generous. This, you know this community. They've really helped me out, a lot of the business folks here. But everybody's welcome, and we've got lots of room for foursomes, so I hope that Wednesday morning, if you're not doing anything, come out at 7 a.m. So, we'll have you out of there by noon.
So how do they get involved?
Well, the best thing to do is, you know, get a hold of me and get on a list, because I've got a list that I just put names down in foursomes, and then just show up. That's basically, and I just check off your name, and you give us a donation, and then you get ready to go. So, best way to do that is they can call me at 444-2779. That's of course 520 area code, and call me directly, and I will get back to you if I don't answer that phone, and but I'll get you on the list and come on out.
Right, and that's the only way. The phone, any email, or anything like that.
Well, no. If you go through Quarry Pine, we open it up to everybody. They have a big list of golfers that you know, regularly play the course. But I like to get my close personal friends in first. And that anybody that's listening right now qualifies. If you call me, I'll get you on that list, and then you'll be assured to before we open it up to the public. So this is a scoop, Steve.
Yeah.
You want to get on 444-2779. Call me. And if you, you know, even if you can't play golf, man, it's a tremendous cause.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you might be able to do to help us out, because 100% of it goes to the kids and their families. There's no cost. We have no, what you call, you know, those above
overhead
costs where we're, you know, taking people to lunch or doing anything like that. Every cent I get, I do something with to help them out.
So in 6 years, I assume that you've raised a few thousand already by now.
Yeah, no, we've done very well. I was trying to add it up because even before we did the golf tournament, we were raising money. So, you know, we're well over the $100,000
wow
amount that we've been able to do. Yeah, and this is, you know, it's I keep opening up more and more, and I've got a great idea for another event next year, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, it's going well. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to think about that we've been doing it this long,
right?
And it comes up fast. Yeah,
no question. In past ones, I know you've been rained out or had
oh
a chance.
My God. It's kind of a running joke, Steve, that if you want to have a monsoon storm hit, just have Mooney schedule a golf tournament for you. It's guaranteed. Yeah, we've been, I think, four times.
So what you've done
we've
well
been
without
rained out.
Yeah, but yeah, you still collect money even
yeah,
though
because I've rescheduled. Yeah, yeah, and I've rescheduled, and some ways it's worked out even better because it gives me another couple of weeks to raise more money.
Mm-hmm.
So and then everybody goes, "Oh God, I heard your tournament got. What can I do to help?" You know, and it's
right.
So, but I'm really, I'd rather have it go off on time. I mean, that's the perfect case scenario.
Sure, sure. No, you've done a great job. 100-some thousand. That's great for the kids.
Yeah.
No question. Hey, so let's talk about your situation. You've been in the news business now for a while, probably more than seven
yeah
years. But yeah, news side. Now, do you miss, and I probably asked you this in November, December when you first came on, do you miss sports yet?
No. I you know what I like doing? I like watching sports. You know that I don't have to worry about
yes,
if
yes
I can get that interview or if they're going to
yes
talk to me or
we'll be cranky with you.
It is a tough job.
Yeah.
As you know well. But yeah, it was a great part of my life. I spent a great deal of my life. I don't know if people realize it wasn't just wrestling around sports. So my first job was with Major League Baseball production. So. It was a huge part of my life, and then got back into news after being involved in the 90s and, you know, back out here. So I like the morning show. It's fun, you know, because I did the nightside stuff for a long time and did the other anchoring. But this has a little lighter side to it. So, you know, and I'm in the town I love. So couldn't be better.
Sure, sure, sure. No, it's a totally different tone in the morning than it is at night. You guys, and you were the kitchen guy. Da, da, da.
Oh, Kitchen Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kitchen Cop. People loved that segment, Steve. It was unbelievable. And it was really a simple segment. I mean, I didn't, they, you know, the health department would go out and do these reports. It wasn't like I was busting
sure
doors down.
Sure.
I mean, because you couldn't. People don't let you in
right
on their property. But it was an incredible segment that people would want to know what the dirt was. They
right
wanted the dirt on restaurants in town. But, you know,
here comes
all
Mooney.
Things come to an end.
Here comes
yeah
Mooney.
Yeah,
get him a
right
clean plate.
It did get to that point.
Yeah.
It did get to that point where I go to restaurants and people are like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, I'm like the restaurant critic.
Know,
like,
yeah, give us a great poupon.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I still got a lot going on. It's crazy. You know, I do the pot. I got a couple podcasts going. It's pretty wild.
Oh, do you? Okay, I didn't know that. Well, let's kind of go back to you missed, you've been in sports with Fox Sports. When I was kind of with Fox Sports, you did a lot of that. But wrestling, you're kind of claimed to fame as wrestling. The one thing that I wasn't a big wrestling fan, whatever, but now as we get older, you're losing a lot of your buddies.
I know, isn't it? It's amazing. I know one night I was probably having a few beers and we counted up some of my friends of all the guys that I worked with at that time that are gone. And it's frightening to think. I mean, it's in, I think it was like over 40.
Wow.
Yeah. Of guys that during just my era, and think about it, I was there from 87 to 93. I know that sounds like a long time ago, folks, but that really was the golden era That was when, you know, Hulk was riding that giant wave, and Randy Savage, and all the names that you think about back then. And a lot of them are gone. And it's amazing. You know, I have a podcast called Primetime with Sean Mooney that focuses on that era and beyond. I've been doing that now for a couple of years. And, it's hard getting guests because they're not around anymore. But
yeah, you have my number, right? That's what I talk about, the good old days.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. But people love that period of time, and I've had a blast doing it. Initially I did it was kind of dragged into doing it. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who was one of the big superstars of that time, and I had known him pretty well over the years then, and this other group had contacted me and said, "Would you be interested in doing it?" And I said, "I don't know," and I said, "Well, let me see. Let me just call. I'll call Hacksaw, see if he wants to do this." And after some persuasion, he decided to do it with me. And we started out. We did about 20 episodes, and then he, was really busy and decided to, I can't do this. So I'm like, okay, now what do I do? And they wanted me to keep going with it because it became very popular.
Uh-huh.
And so I started doing different guests every week. And now we're about, I think we're 120 something episodes in. And we've got about, we're doing, like 10,000 downloads a week. I mean, it's kind of crazy that there's that many people. But, it's from around the world. You have people listening in the UK and New Zealand and Australia and
sure.
All over Europe.
I've never been to one of them. I know they're crazy, but how crazy did they get and do they get?
Well, there's been this resurgence to the WWE has the network now, and I think you pay it's $11 or something dollars a month, but you can go on there, and it's basically this incredible archive because Vince owns everything now. He bought all the WCW, which was the Nitro Wars, the Monday Night Wars that they had, and he has this incredible library, and they're putting this stuff up on the network. So there's been this massive resurgence of people going because now you can go back and look at all this stuff. And there's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't send me, a Twitter or something, a message saying, "Oh, did you check this out? They had this appearance you did on Coliseum Video," because I hosted all these tapes back in the day, and because it's all out there. And so now it's new all over again. And it's really, it is crazy.
Right, right.
You invite all these shows, these memorabilia shows, and it's been a blast.
Mooney.
Yeah.
They yell at Slaughter. You. Sergeant Slaughter, yeah. Did you like the role that you played? Because you were kind of like the one of those guys.
Yeah. Oh, I had a blast. I was the straight guy.
You were the straight guy, yeah.
Something I play. I've played the straight guy my entire life, no matter what I've done. And people can say what they want, all the different roles you play, but, you get into news and they say, I'm the straight guy. I've always been, I've been a great straight guy. I know how to set people up.
Right.
That's what it's all about. That's the art of interviewing, right?
Sure. No question. No, in fact, you were the straight guy with my goofiness when we had that radio show for a month, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was?
Yeah, that was a blast.
Yeah, it was.
That's what I do, and it all comes down to entertainment. So
I get
to go in the morning, I get to tell people what's happening, but also we get to have a little fun out there. So, as long as I can keep doing that, I'm a happy man.
Great, great. And then, the business is getting younger and younger as we speak. Who knows better than you and I?
Oh, boy.
And you work with a bunch. But I'm sure that it's been fun, too, kind of mentoring them if you do get to do that.
Oh, yeah. We have that's interesting about this market because what you have is, you have people that are trying to come up, they're coming up in the business, and they want to, of course, be successful and move on to a higher market. And then you have people that are older, like me or Lupita Murillo or something, that have, we're here because we love this community. It's, mm-hmm. it's home to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to pick up and move somewhere. And so it's a great market for somebody like that who's younger. My feeling has always been, you want to learn, man, here's my desk, stop by. And so I do enjoy that. But the business, man, it is changing. It is
tremendously.
News, I mean, in everything is. You've seen it as we have in every facet of newsmaking, whether it's sports or it's news, whatever it is. With the internet now, that's where it's all going.
Right, no question. The good thing, you know, they still need people to write for that, and they're still looking. There's still hope for good writers.
Oh, please. You know, Steve, and that's a great point because you know I have kids come up to me all the time and they say, you know, what do I need to do to be a good broadcaster? You know, what I tell them, write.
Mm-hmm.
You're a good writer. You're going to be okay because throughout my career. And you know that I had a very deep production background. I mean, I had numerous productions. I was producing the shows myself down here in Tucson for Fox Sports Arizona. And but the fact that I could write, I could put, you know, tell a story, that made a major difference because times I haven't been on, you know, in front of a camera all that way, but I've always been able to find work. And it amazed me that how many these kids coming out of school don't know how to do it.
Right.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because that was something you had to be able to do. And so I hope, that's one thing I try and drill into them is that, right, that's it. You become a good writer, then you can tell stories. And if you can tell stories, then you can paint pictures for it. But you've got to be able to tell a story.
No question. Hey, before you leave, I want to touch base just because I just remembered it now. You lost a great friend 6 years ago this week. I lost a good friend in Dave Sitton. Just what do you remember of him? He was fantastic to a lot of people, did a lot of things for this community. 6 years already. It seems like just like yesterday.
Oh God, no kidding. And it still hurts. But you know, we started this conversation talking about doodads, all of that about giving back, and what really inspiring to me was Dave. I mean, that's like doodads. That's where that came from. But he told me very early on, and people may not know the history between myself and Dave, but we weren't just you know, broadcast colleagues by any stretch of the imagination. I met Dave when I was 16, and he remained a mentor throughout his life. So many of the things I do today, I mean, it's like one of those things you say, what would Dave do? I mean, he was that much of an inspiration to me. And, you know, he especially in this town, I mean, you can be walking down the street and just go up to somebody, did you know Dave Sitton? And they probably say, yeah, I did. He was an awesome guy. And he will stay with me forever. And many of the things that he taught me, I pass on to my kids because that's what he was all about. You know, the rugby thing he was so passionate about that game. But more than that, it was about impacting young men's lives. So, and I was one of them. And I miss him every day.
Yeah. No, I saw that on my timeline. I did that big poster for him when he passed. It was like, you know, wow, I can't believe it's been 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's just amazing. I remember when I got the phone call.
Yeah.
Well, it's a blink of an eye.
So. Yeah, no question. Well, be healthy, be strong, and we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck with your event. If I could golf half a lick, I would be out there, but I'm horrible.
Yeah, that's why I don't go out there anymore. But I ride around in the cart and encourage people to give us more money so we can help people.
Right.
So you can help me that way. Just get folks. And anybody wants to swing a club, please show up Wednesday morning at a Quarry Pines. Even if you don't, I'm sure we'll have some room. Just, you know, that you don't get to me to make a reservation. Show up there. I'll make sure you play some golf and have a good time.
So for people like me who don't know where.
Just remember, it's going to a great golf.
For people like me who don't know where that's at, tell me real quick.
Quarry Pines is right off of Cortero.
Oh, okay.
I-10.
Yeah, okay.
That course right there.
Yeah.
And folks, you know, if you just want to donate, you can go to doodads.org. Real easy to remember. doodads.org. And we have, you know, right there. You can donate to a great cause.
Where can I pick
I
up?
You will do it. And yeah, go ahead.
Where can I pick up a Sean Mooney bobblehead?
I would love, you know, I think we should do something like that. Maybe We might raise $25 or something. So that's a tremendous idea.
And if you signed it, it'd be worth
$15. I have a big head.
Yeah, if you signed it, it'd be worth $15, like my books.
Yeah, there you go.
Like my books. Yeah. Hey, Sean, good to talk to you.
All right, dude. You're still the busiest man in show business.
I try to be, man.
I don't know. I thought I wore a lot of hats, but you got me beat.
I wish I could just get skinny from it. If I could, thank you very much. I'm having fun like you guys did. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Take care. Good luck.
All right, my friend.
All right. Take care. Bye. 10:30 The Voice, Trusted Local News and Talk. Yes, I am busy. Tom, I'm glad I have you to help me to level me out, or what do you call it? Bring me back to reality.
Do I do that?
whether you like it or not, yes.
Gosh, you're giving me a swelled head there, Steve. Be careful.
You and Bob. Let's take a break because we're a little over and come back on the other side, 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Good show so far. And what did you say? What did you say about the week when I said good shows yet or so far? I can't remember. So I have a chance to mess it up.
Well, that was earlier. So far, you're batting 1,000.
I bet 1,000. Okay, let me not mess this up. Hey, let me give this a chance because we have like 10 minutes. Anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. But I wanted to say thanks, a lot of thanks to my sponsors who have helped me throughout the first few months of this. You know, it goes from Lexus of Tucson to Crest Insurance and Cody Ritchie and Hughes Federal Credit Union, Kelly Terhan, her at Hughes, one of the great sponsors, Stacy Fowler, who's done a great job recently with me, and her great marketing deal there, Brenda Baca, of course, of Arizona Housing Solutions, for the football and the Sugar Skulls program, and Mike Wilson for the soccer program at FC Tucson. God, I know I'm missing a lot of the Tino's Pizza for providing pizzas to give away. There's just so many of them. A-level housing, A-level realty, which was great for me for a couple months. There's so many great ones that have come on and returned, obviously, for a long time. But Crest is now with me, and like I said, Hughes Federal Credit Union, and, of course, CPR to you, the show that we have about heart health and being healthy in Southern Arizona. Some great people. Great people.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody wants to call in, please do. And if you're interested in sponsoring the show, let me know. But I just wanted to let that know that. And the late Ken Flower, who was great with me at the Arizona Party Rental. He was on the show for 2 or 3 months, was ready to come back. Unfortunately, now he's passed. But great, one of the great guys that I've met here in Tucson over the years. Unassuming, no ego, just a great guy.
790-2040 is our number if you want to call in and chat with Steve.
In 8 minutes we're going to talk to Frederick Marx. He's a producer for the pretty good movie, long time ago movie, Hoop Dreams, based in Chicago at the time. And very successful. What did it say? $11 million back then.
Just an is that what it grossed worldwide?
In an independent film that no one thought would have a chance .
Sounds like it more than paid for itself.
Yes. Yeah. We'll ask him about that. And it's number one current TV special, 50 documentaries to see before you die. Number one. I guess I have to maybe rent it on Netflix or something.
What was your favorite sports movie?
Oh, that's a good question. Wow. The Longest Yard, probably the original one. The movie
with Burt Reynolds?
With Burt Reynolds, yeah. And then they had the remake with, what's his name, the goofy guy.
I don't think I've even seen the remake.
Yeah, the remake. It was not this. It was kind of the same thing, but it was just with Burt Reynolds in it. But it was the Adam Sandler. But, you know, the movie that you brought up earlier, because I was a kid when I watched it, was...
with Bobby Benson?
Yeah.
Basketball?
It was... hold on. One-on-one. He was a recruited athlete, went to a small school in Kansas, didn't play very much, and the coach eventually hated him, and then he had to put him in because he had nothing else, and the guy saved his butt and won the game for him. And he says, "I always knew you could do it." Yeah, right. Shut up.
Well, one I liked, and that is back when I was...
Can I guess?
NFL fan.
Oh, no, never mind. Mine was a baseball song, Brian's song for you.
Nope. Dallas North 40.
Oh, yeah. That's a great book. The guy, the author, Dan Jenkins, just passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but recently.
Well, they made a movie of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one. Chris Christopherson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quarterback for the Cowboys was in that movie?
Was Don Meredith?
Was Don Meredith in that movie?
Maybe.
I can't remember. Nick Nolte. He played a tight end.
Yeah.
And was always...
Well, you know what? Yeah, I get
it. Button heads with the coach. It was a team that was based on the Cowboys, but it wasn't the Cowboys. But, you know.
Right.
Same idea. The coach portrayed was like a Tom Landry type coach.
Nick Nolte, Mac Davis, Charles Durning.
Mac Davis.
Yeah. John Matuszak. He was a football player.
Yeah. So no, the twos.
So let me tell you, my best, and I don't know why I forgot this, but it was one on one. But it was reminding me of my dad and myself was, Ricky Schroeder, the boxing movie. I think it was Nick Nolte. And I just lost it. I just had it and I lost it. God, my brain. You know what I'm talking about.
It was sort of, wasn't it based on a older movie that had Jackie Coogan playing the Ricky Schroeder part?
Probably. God, I'm going to find it.
Oh, and that would have been, yeah, I'm losing it too.
God, it's going to come to me. I'm Googling it right now.
Help us out. 790-2040.
The Champ.
Oh, the God. Champ. Why yes.
And I liked it so much because I had that type of relationship with my father. I grew up with him, and I was with him everywhere. So when the dad died, you know, it was very sad, and then he had to go to live with his mom and Faye Dunaway, I think it was. But that's easily my number one movie.
And was then, John Voight in that?
Yeah, that's it. What did I say? It was John Voight.
John Voight, Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah. And Faye Dunaway, I think. But that's who it was.
Yeah.
What did I say? It was John. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
790-2040. What's your favorite sports movie?
Yeah. Let us know.
Let's line them up.
Yeah, except
all the good sports movies.
We'll have to do that next week because we're going to run out of time for this segment.
Oh, yeah. We got to get, speaking of sports movies.
right. I'll ask him what he thought was his best movie. But yeah, The Champ was easily 1979. I was 15 at the time, and really hit the heartstrings for me. And Ricky Schroeder was just like, you know, a little kid.
Yeah,
just a little kid.
And that's when they called him Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky.
He became Rick.
Silver Spoons.
Yeah.
Yes.
The older you get, the quicker you lose the Y off the end of your name.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a break. No. We got a couple of minutes before we call him. He's in Massachusetts right now, so he was going to go to a movie, get out in time. So let's wait a couple of minutes, maybe at least one more minute before we track him down.
Any more memorable sports movies?
Oh man, well, baseball, of course, the Bad News Bears. 70. I was going to mention that yesterday when we had the kids from Sunnyside. You remember the first original one? How they were horrible. They went to Houston and they played really well, and you know, let them play. That was right in my wheelhouse time.
I got one that you could care less about.
Tell me.
The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not a hockey. Because I'm not a hockey guy. But there's plenty. Brian Song.
What about the movie about when the USA won the gold medal, beating the Russians on the way to winning the gold medal in Lake Placid? No. Was it Lake Placid?
Yeah.
In New York?
New York, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they believe in miracles?
Yeah. I think Miracle on Ice was the name of it.
Yeah.
Herb, what's his name, was the coach for the USA team. And
yeah, you and I are just kind of names.
Why can't I? Yeah, I'm getting old. What can I do?
Yeah, me too. I'm right behind you. I'm losing it too.
I've only got half my memory.
Well, what about the one the one in the cornfields? Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, yeah. That's a fun movie. It's not based on, an actual happening or an actual sports figure like Lou Gehrig, the Gary Cooper movie, portraying Lou Gehrig when he got...
What about the baseball one with what's his name? The Natural.
Oh, yeah, Robert Redford. I kind of liked that movie. It had some weird twists in the plot. It seems like they could have made a movie that would have been a little more satisfying.
What about what about this line? There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks with the women's.
When they had the girls' leagues during World War II.
Yeah.
because all the guys were overseas fighting,
right,
most
right.
of them.
Let's take a break now so we can call him out and see what's going on out in Massachusetts with Mr. Frederick Marks here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Good to have you guys with me, especially now. I have one of the co-writers of Hoop Dreams, Frederick Marks. Frederick, how are you?
Very good. How are you doing, Steve?
Fine, thank you. Great to have you on the show. I was looking forward to it all day after talking to you earlier today. What prompted you guys to write this? I know it took a while, but what prompted you to write this?
Well, you know, I got to say that I don't want to mislead your audience, first of all, because when people think writing, they tend to think fiction. And it's good to remind your audience that this is a documentary film, that Hoop Dreams, we wanted to basically try to do our best to capture the experience of what the dream of NBA basketball meant to young, low-income African-American kids in urban Chicago. So, you know, we set out to do our best to tell that story, and it was only after we had collected about 250 hours of footage filming for about 4.5 years that we finally decided, you know what, we need to give ourselves writing credits along with editing, and producing, and other credits, because we had to really write our way through to the powerful story that we wanted to tell.
And it was. And it was. You guys got great acclaim in 1994 for it. It went to Sundance, did really, really well. And did you even fathom that they had a chance to have this type of legs back then?
No, not at all. I mean, we had started out with a much more modest vision of making a half-hour film for PBS. And it was only in the course of making it that I decided, you know what, I think we need to do that film still, yes, make it kind of a stay-in-school film that will get into public schools across the country, which we did, but also follow the stories of these two young men who we'd already been filming for about a year and a half or 2 years at that point, and just see where they go and keep filming them until they finish high school and we get to see the first steps they take after high school, hopefully in college, but we didn't even know they'd make it to college at that point.
Right, right. So what was the underlying message from the whole thing?
You know, it's difficult to say. I mean, I would argue that, well, put it this way. There's a lot of people who've seen the film who at one point they go, oh, my God, the dream is a nightmare.
Right.
And the kids should never have the dream because it's just going to destroy them. And then half an hour or 45 minutes later, watching the same film, they might think, oh, my God, the dream is their saving grace. The dream is the thing that is actually helping lift them out of what are horrible circumstances and keep their hope alive for a better day. So I think, if nothing else, audiences come away from the film understanding how deeply complex the issue is with so many low-income African-American families in this country, even still today.
I was just going to go there. I mean, you're going to celebrate the 25-year anniversary here in Tucson, and we'll get to that in a second. But it's been 25 years, and really, in the profession of this sport, nothing's really changed.
No, in fact, it's gotten worse in many ways. And by it, I'm talking about the potential for exploitation
yes.
of young people. And, you know, we have scouts in Hoop Dreams talking about, you know, serving up fresh meat when they're talking about basically gauging the prospects of young high school athletes. And they have these dope sheets, you know, that they basically publish and hand out to college coaches and others. Well, now the system has taken one huge step downward in the ladder to grammar school kids.
Yes.
So grammar school kids as young as 5, 6, 7 years old are being rated by professional scouts for their potential in the NBA, and it's craziness.
Did you have some background in sports before you got into this genre?
Well, you know, my original partner, Steve James, and I, we had our own hoop dreams. I mean, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, So I wanted to be the next Will Chamberlain. I mean, I'm not kidding. That was my dream. And I was only about 7 inches and about a million skills shy of ever achieving it. But, you know, and Steve got further than I did. I was a star in a very, very small high school in East Central Illinois playing basketball and co-captain of the team. But Steve actually played for his college team at James Madison University and got a little bit farther, but not much farther.
Yeah.
So we loved the game, but we realized that, you know, as middle-class white kids, you know, we had this whole social safety net to sort of catch us if we reached for the brass ring of the NBA and failed, as mm-hmm. we did, whereas so many kids don't have that safety net, especially now.
Right. No, in fact, that's why I asked. So you guys are athletes, maybe not as good as you'd like to be athletes, but when you're making this film, I'm sure that you were enlightened, and I'll use that word strangely, enlightened or surprised by a lot of things that you heard and saw, because even when you hear the agents talking about fresh meat and all that stuff, that was probably, look at that. That's a pretty good word.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, we thought that the system was bad. We found out it was actually worse than we realized.
Right. So yeah. What surprised you the most? Because if you're kind of not naive to it, but you know there's a lot of underbelly stuff involved, then you're thinking, God, I didn't realize it was this bad.
Well, you know, comments like that definitely surprised me. You know, the cynicism of some of these agents and scouts. But, you know, one of the things that actually encouraged me was that one of the figures in our film, Earl Smith, who we see very early on, who is, in effect, a kind of street scout, one of these guys who combs neighborhood playgrounds looking for young talent, he was the guy who introduced Arthur Agee to Coach Gene Pingitore and brought him out to this suburban high school, St. Joseph's, to eventually play basketball for this private Catholic school. And when we caught up with him, or actually I should say he found us, after 4 years, we didn't see much of him at that point. And then he showed up toward the end of our filming when Arthur was a senior and he had transferred out of St. Joseph's because his family could no longer pay the tuition for the private school and felt betrayed that some of the promises that had been made them were not fulfilled. He shows up and he says, you know, I actually kind of regret some of the things that I've done in the past. And I actually feel like, you know, I need to make a little bit of amends. So, you know, I really, my hat is off to the man. He's now deceased, but you know, he really came, I think the film held up a kind of a mirror to him in some way. And he took a deep look into that mirror and realized that what he saw of himself was something that he wasn't entirely happy with.
Yeah. With all the things that are going on, and you've seen them obviously for a long time now, 25 years since the movie, even now the NCAA investigations that involved, well, happen to be involving Arizona, among others, not a shock to you probably.
Not at all. Not at all. I don't want to derail our conversation, I have a lot of, you know, questions about the NCAA and the ways that they, you know, really don't support athletes in the way that they say they do.
Right. Right. No, that's for a different day. Maybe when you come into town, we could talk about it.
I would love it. I would love, because believe me, you won't shut me up.
No, that's fine. We got 2 hours here. Sit on the couch, man. We can do it. We can do it. But I'm surprised. $11 million at the time that it raised or earned, was that a surprising thing to you too? Because you just had this independent film.
It was. It was a huge surprise. And at that time, it was the highest grossing non-musical documentary to ever be released. So, you know, we were extremely pleased, really happy. And, you know, I mean, the film, part of the reason why we're still screening it and why we're having this show on Sunday is because it's become a so-called evergreen film. I mean, I have, there's a Donald Foyle is the former center.
Yes.
for the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors in my hometown of Oakland, California. You know, I see him at the club where I work out. And when we first met about 3 years ago, he told me that his parents sat him down to watch the film when he was still about 17, 18 years old and hadn't even yet gone to college and said, you've got to understand all of what can happen to you as you pursue this path. So, you know, and that is a pretty common story as you go around the NBA these days to hear from a lot of the athletes. This film became kind of a tutoring piece, if you will, that their parents made them watch.
Right. In fact, didn't he go to Colgate?
That I don't remember.
I think he went to Colgate. He was one of those smart guys that played a big, tall guy, big center. I think I think I can remember him playing there. But, you know, it's a life lesson for any sport, because if you're good at something, someone's going to try to mess with you and try to exploit you.
No doubt. And that's only one of the many dangers. Obviously, injury is another.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, all of the economic circumstances, however trying that might be in your background, they also pull at your heels. So it could be friends. It could be extended family. I mean, one of the things I think the film makes very clear is that whole families get invested in the future of these young people.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate because it's putting entirely too much pressure on these kids who are 13, 14, 15 years old.
Let me ask you, are you a basketball fan now?
I'm a basketball junkie, I think it's safe to say.
Okay, so so am I in a way. I've been covering college and pro basketball for, you know, 25 plus years. But one of the disheartening days, although it's big, huge, huge promise, is the NBA draft. Everybody has this, you know, illusions of this great day. But many times, the kids aren't drafted, one, and even if you could be some of the All-Americans, they get picked in the second round. And you can see the disappointment in their lives and their faces and their families when that happens.
Well, no doubt, because they all understand the implications. There's literally millions of dollars that has just been moved off the table. And for so many of these families who've lived in poverty or, you know, just sort of working poverty for much of their lives, I mean, that means everything. So you're right. I find it a little bit disconcerting that they make these live television shows out of it.
Right.
You know, I mean, families and the young athletes themselves try to put the best face on it as they can, of course, but oh my God, it's heart-wrenching.
Right. Did you ever think about doing something like this again?
You know, we actually flirted with doing a sequel back in the early aughts. And we actually filmed some stuff with both Arthur and William's families. But, you know, the short answer is that the film became such a celebrated piece of work that the public press in itself carries the story of the follow-up. So all of your listeners, if they want further information, they just simply, you know, can go online and Google, you know, Hoop Dreams updates, and they'll see stories from the Washington Post and from a number of different newspapers and magazines over the years, basically bringing the stories up to date.
Right, right, right. So when is the event here at the Loft?
It's 6:30 p.m. Is when we start, a Sunday evening.
Of this coming Sunday?
This coming Sunday,
Oh, so,
correct.
Okay. You're not even in town yet. You're probably arriving tomorrow?
Correct. I'll be coming in late tomorrow night. But, you know, one thing I actually do want to mention to your listeners, which is something that a lot of people don't realize. I mentioned earlier that we ended up making two films, right? The stay-in-school version and then the long-form Hoop Dreams version. Well, that stay-in-school version actually got nominated for an Emmy. It was nominated for Best Daytime Children's Special back in 1993. And what a lot of people don't know, and Steve and I learned as we worked on this film, was that girls have the dream as well.
Yeah.
And so we got educated about that, and so we actually were able to film a young girl's story, Kim Williams, in Chicago, and we incorporated her story into that shorter film, Higher Goals. And since I heard that some of the women from the Arizona women's basketball team might be attending the film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not in any official capacity, but just unofficially. I thought, oh, my God, it'll be so much fun to show them the 5 minutes of scenes that we filmed of Kim Williams from Higher Goal. So your audience should know that I'm going to be showing that as well. So
yes,
it's a kind of a little bonus piece.
Yeah, so at 6:30, that's when it's kind of get there and watch the movie. I'll probably end up going to the thing, and I'll introduce myself to you, and we'll talk there again. Great to have you. Great to have you. And I can talk about this all day.
Well, thanks, Steve. We'll have to take up the NCAA issue another time.
Yes, yeah, right. And you don't have to pull punches. They're fine. They're big boys.
Great. Well, yeah. Because I got plenty to throw.
great to hear from you. Good luck. And it's at the Loft on Sunday. Starts 6:30. When does it start? 7 o'clock?
We'll start at 6:30, and we'll have a number of special guests, and I'll be there showing those excerpts from Higher Goals. And
great.
It's a benefit for my nonprofit film production company called Warrior Films.
Great. Great to have you in town. Dressed, it's only going to be about 105, so be prepared.
I'm ready now with my sandals and shorts.
That's what you wear. The same thing. Can you come in? We're good.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Frederick. We'll see you soon. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Bye now.
Hey, that was great. I wanted to talk to him, and I'm glad I did. I didn't realize it was Sunday already, but that's good. I'll probably end up going to that and seeing the film for the first time. But, you know, there's so much sadness in sports that people kind of don't talk about. But we won't talk about it now because we're running out of time. I only have like 40 seconds left. Good show. Good week. I didn't mess it up, Tom. We're all good.
No, you did good, partner.
Yes.
Our boss.
We made it to the finish line. We made it to the finish line. Thanks, everybody, for listening this week. I appreciate everybody here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.